Joshua chapter 6 in your Bibles this morning. Would you listen for a few minutes while I give you the background for today's message? Moses was born into a world that had already decreed his death by an anti-Semitic despot. But a great father and mother made the difference. He was hidden for 3 months. And then he was found by Pharaoh's daughter. And then the sovereign God touched her heart. He was raised in the palace. He lived there 40 years with all its advantages of education and culture and protocol and luxury and pleasure. Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. At age 40, he killed an Egyptian and hid his body in the sand. A new Pharaoh who hated Moses sought his life. So Moses flees to the Midian desert. He spends the next 40 years of his life keeping his father-in-law's sheep. He was married and he has 2 boys. At 80 years of age, God appears to him in a burning bush and tells him, "Go back to Pharaoh and deliver my people." D.L. Moody said, "Moses spent the first 40 years of his life thinking he was somebody. He spent the next 40 years learning he was a nobody. And then he spent the next 40 years learning what God can do with a nobody." Moses appears before Pharaoh with this message: "Let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "No." What follows are 9 plagues. And then the Passover night. It was one of the most dramatic events in world history. The firstborn of every house in Egypt, not protected by the blood, was slain. A great wail of broken-hearted parents and grandparents is heard. The next morning, Pharaoh lets the children of Israel go. Perhaps over 1 million Israelis leave. Out of Egypt, they stop at Mount Sinai, where they will spend a year. Moses receives the 10 commandments. And the instructions for the tabernacle. In her 2nd year out of Egypt, Israel swept to the banks of the Jordan River. They were poised to enter the promised land for which they had longed. They were right where God wanted them. But they didn't cross the river. They stopped and sent in 12 spies. They searched out Canaan for 40 days, and then they gave a twofold report. First of all, the land is very good. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a great land. But then they said this: "There are many problems. Giants are there. The cities are strong. We are as grasshoppers before them." And then a vote was taken. 10 of the spies voted to go back to Egypt. Incredibly so. Back to slavery. Back to whips. Back to abuse. Back to a Pharaoh that is putting their sons to death. Joshua and Caleb says, "Let's cross the river. Let's believe God. God brought us here with a mighty hand. Let's go. They were not only voted down, but they were almost killed. That so angered God. He led the children of Israel in the wilderness for the next 40 years until all the men over 20 years old died. 40 years later, once again, they stand on the banks of the Jordan River. They had ignored God. They had ignored His power and His promises. I want all of us just to apply this to our church. I believe we are where God wants us to be, but we are not where God wants us to stay. We have accomplished much with His help, but the best and the brightest of this church and this family is yet ahead. These people's reaction to Jericho ought to be our reaction to the challenges God has placed before us. God is talking to Joshua in Joshua chapter 6. Let's read the first 5 verses. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man before him." Now verse 10. "And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout." Verse 20 and 21. "So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword." What an incredible story. I wanted to divide it and apply it to our church in several parts. First of all, conquering Jericho was to be a difficult task. Jericho was the banner city of the Canaanites. Please understand, a good marriage is not accomplished easily. A good life or a good church. There are no quick courses to success in life. Anything worthwhile in life is accomplished at a cost. These people were facing a problem with no human solution. And God said, "I want you to take each city and destroy them." There are lots of difficulties, but I am bigger than the difficulties. What are we facing today, ladies and gentlemen? First of all, the continual opposition of Satan. He is as a roaring lion, and he is very good and very successful at what he does. And he has focused his fiery darts on us, trying to destroy our effectiveness. If he can get fusses started in this church, he will. If he can get any of us to fall into immorality, he will. If he can cause disunity, he will. He will do anything to destroy us and our effectiveness. Second of all, we have to fight self. We must constantly fight apathy and laziness and personal agendas at this church. Live your life according to the Word of God and not according to how you feel. Third, we have to fight sin. Sin in its defiance against God is increasing, and all you have to do is listen to the news and keep your eyes open when you're in the community. Because sin abounds, the Bible says, the love of many shall wax cold, and we are living that right now. Second of all, it would require leadership to conquer Jericho. God told Joshua, "This is what I want you to do." One of the successes of this church or any church is that you have given me the latitude to lead. I have no desire to be a dictator, but I do not want the responsibility that being a pastor incurs without the authority to lead in several ways. First of all, spiritually. When I stand in this pulpit, I must preach what God gives me in my heart. I must preach it from the Word of God, even if it offends, even if it seems harsh at times. I'll take a stand against alcohol as long as God gives me breath, because that's what the Bible teaches. I'll take a stand against abortion. Killing babies is wrong because that's what the Bible teaches. I'm going to preach against sin because that's what the Bible teaches. Sin is still black. Hell is still hot. Eternity is still long. Salvation is free, and heaven is beautiful, and Jesus is coming again. Spiritually, I'm responsible to God to lead. And then I must have latitude to lead practically, to set goals for this church, for you to read your Bible through, for you to win someone to Christ, for you to be faithful in attendance to the services, for you to support the church financially. God will be pleased and shower our church with abundant blessings if we do those things. Third, I am to lead morally. We have a responsibility to assist each other in moral purity. My third thought is, God blessed and the victory came. Why don't we just determine that we're going to march around the walls of opposition today in obedience, and then let God be God. Let's do what God says and watch Him work. And then God gets the glory. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning, And how very thankful we are for your wonderful word and for the direction of the Holy Spirit in our life. He wants to lead us. And as Tina sang a couple of minutes ago, Father, help us just to stay in your will so we don't get in your way. Father, we just ask that you might help us to love people's souls, that we would be concerned about where people are going to spend eternity. And oh, Father, there are so many people that are passing away because of COVID, and they're going to spend eternity somewhere. And those people that we have contact with, oh, Father, help us to teach and love the truth before them. Father, I just ask that each one of us might be very concerned about people's souls. If there's someone, dear Father, that we know, give us the opportunity to speak to them about heaven and how to get there. In Jesus' name, amen.